KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
That is so 90s.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Dell. Lance is off. Raheel is lazy. And Steve McKinney, the Inside Skinny with Steve McKinney, is with us here on ESPN 97.5 to talk about all things Aggies, Texans, and whatnot throughout the NFL and beyond. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me in.
I think the other one over there. That one, yeah.
You got two mics.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that one.
I'm not a professional.
You know, no, yeah, you are. Okay, you've been doing this for a long time.
Too long. Actually, I have done this for about 20 years now.
Yes, right? Yeah, or more.
Never been paid.
Not a dime. Not a dime. And he brings breakfast. Okay? Steve McKinney, he's a McDonald's tycoon now, and he's got stores all over the place. And he brought us some sausage and biscuits. And what else did you bring?
Sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles.
Sausage, you know, egg, and cheese McGriddles.
You like that little sweet and savory.
Right, right.
Know, little sausage.
Right. And I see. Grill. Look at. And
that's what I went for.
And you're throwing one down and still, still svelte as ever.
As svelte as ever.
Yeah.
Baby.
Well, you got off the steroids after your playing days, and so then
that's
you were
true.
Done, right?
That's true, yes. Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Now, if there's one guy that wasn't on steroids, it was you. You didn't have that steroid.
I mean, there's too many pictures on the internet to disprove that theory.
You did not check any of the steroid
Nobody
boxes.
Nobody mistook me for somebody on steroids.
No.
There was no, what was the dude from, that was on the cover of SI for Michigan State?
Oh, Mandrich.
Tony Mandrich, yeah.
Yeah, you were.
I didn't have the Tony Mandrich look.
Different body type.
Not so much.
Not that one.
Not so much.
And for the younger listeners, you're like, okay, who's Steve McKinney? Steve McKinney was the original center of your Houston Texans, one of the original Texans.
The very first unrestricted free agent ever signed.
Ever signed by the Houston Texans.
You made me feel very old right there.
Well, you
remind people,
yeah.
The young guy, people.
Do you do anything with the team? No?
I mean, I do. I am a Texans ambassador, so yeah, we do some stuff. But yeah, I wouldn't say I'm that involved.
Not nearly as, yeah.
No.
There's some guys that just like J.J. Moses and the Cecil Shorts, and they love doing all that stuff.
No, yeah. J.J.'s doing a great job.
Yeah, yeah. He's a nice guy.
I actually went and talked to, he had me come in and speak to the some of the players, about life after football and, you know, guys that are interested in starting businesses and getting into that world after the game. So,
yeah.
Yeah, J.J.'s awesome, man.
So, and you're a perfect, I mean, you're a great example. For those of you who don't know, Steve's got a bunch of McDonald's all over, and you know it wasn't easy. I mean, he's a guy who was making some good money in the NFL, and he gets out and he's got to go become a fry cook.
Yeah,
to
drive through order taker. Yeah,
right. And McDonald's makes you do all of that stuff.
They do. That's what I loved about McDonald's is that they don't let you just come in and throw your weight around, write a check.
Uh-uh.
I mean, dude, you got to go in and work and earn the right to even buy one.
Yeah.
And so I did that for like a year and a half, which was awesome because I knew nothing about running a restaurant, especially a fast food place. So I needed that discipline, somebody to really force you to learn.
Why did you pick that?
Well, I mean, I love McDonald's. I've always loved the brand. Grew up with it.
It's not like that's going out of style anytime soon. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
You know, I'd done some other things. You know, I used to do the Velocity Sports Performance.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to, every time I walk into a room and I have to explain to everybody what it is.
Right.
You know, well, this is what it is. This is how it can benefit you. And they're like, oh, okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now I
Where
can just
is
go,
it?
I own a McDonald's. And everyone's like, oh, yeah.
I'm McDonald's.
I know the entire menu.
Yeah.
I don't have to explain nothing.
Right.
That sells itself.
And yeah, and you know, it's like funeral homes. You know people are going to need,
exactly.
You need it. Even in bad economic times, because you've been through some bad economic times, McDonald's flourishes.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, you know, when the economy's down, we do well with our dollar menu stuff. When the economy's up, we sell more premium stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, You know, there's always something to sell. People got to eat.
Yep.
People are always in a hurry, and they're always looking for convenience.
How about that? Right? So you did that, and so you got into it. How now, you know, while you were still playing, or this was after?
No, yeah, you can't
do it.
It's too hands-on.
So you just decided this is what I'm going to do, and you had to go to, like, Centerville or somewhere, didn't you?
Yeah. Madisonville.
Same thing.
I grew up in Centerville.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, same thing. It is really
Yeah, it kind of is.
But, yeah, I mean, that was one of the things when I was playing, man, I used to get so distracted with other ventures. I mean, I'm playing football. I'm doing Velocity Sports Performance. I'm buying a shopping center. I'm doing a subdivision development. I mean, I'm going in 90 different directions and doing just very average to poor in all of them, mm-hmm. right? And when I got done with football, I made a conscious decision to focus on one thing. I sold everything. I sold my deer ranch. I sold my shopping centers. I sold the Velocities. I sold my steak and Freebird's burrito. I said, I'm just doing McDonald's. I put my blinders on. 10 years later, man, that's all I do.
Well, and that's interesting because we have had a conversation. And now, Adele, Max Sharpen. So we've had a conversation here about the offensive line.
Okay.
And we've been talking about this. And one of the things that the Houston Texans love in their offensive line, and by the way, Steve McKinney, for those of you just joining us, with us here in studio. And he was an original Texan and the center for this football team. But you also played guard.
Yeah, you know, I played a little bit of guard, mostly center.
Mostly center.
Yeah, I think mostly center. 4 years I was at center, and then I kind of bounced around at guard and
yeah.
center for a couple years.
Right. And the Bruce Matthews of the world, they played every position.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
To last as long as I did, you can't just play one spot.
No. Well, unless you really, really excel, like, you know, I mean, obviously. But here's the problem is when you're a young player, mm-hmm. let's say a rookie coming into the league,
right.
and you're getting all this thrown at you, not only are you coming from, like, Northern Illinois, where he's coming from, you upgrade, now you got to block, and he's going to talk about it here. It's going to be how difficult it is. Now you got to learn different positions as well. Let's hear from when asked about how Sharping is doing. Here's what Bill O'Brien said yesterday.
Sharping's been, for a rookie, you know, I always temper that for where they are in their career. I think it's a hard jump, you know, when you come from Northern Illinois to the Houston Texans. And, you know, and believe me, I have all due respect for Northern Illinois, but, you know, you're lining up across from DJ Reader and J.J. Watt and guys like that. I mean, it's a big jump, but Max approaches every day in a very mature way. You know, he's a very mature guy who works very hard. We're moving him around. He's played center, he's played guard, he's played tackle. Smart guy, works extremely hard. So we see a guy that you know, has a good future.
So in her preview, you remember Steph Stradley?
I do not.
You don't? She was the superwoman that was one of the first Texans super fans, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
And she,
I'm sure I'd recognize
she's that. Actually, and she was she's a lawyer, and she actually is very, very intelligent in football. And she wrote a nice preview of the Houston Texans season. And one of the things she focused on the offensive line was, you know, it's been a mess the last few years. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of a mess. It's been a mishmash. But really, just let's throw stuff at it and see what happens. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that usually works real well.
No, it hasn't. And it hasn't worked real well to the tune of 62 sacks last year.
That's shocking.
So one of her questions was, and I thought a really good question, of Mike Devlin, the offensive line coach, is, you know, versatility is great, but aren't you guys, what about looking for a certain kind of guy at a certain position? And, oh, by the way, how hard is it to be learning all of these different positions, especially when you're a young player?
Well, I mean, it definitely affects you. I mean, as a young player, I can assure you, you're much better served locking into one position.
Yeah.
The game is coming at you so fast. I don't care what position you play. O-line, receiver, running back, quarterback. Learning that playbook and then getting in that game when the guys are flying around faster than you've seen in your life, your head's spinning. I just remember, I was just talking to my wife about this the other night. When I was a rookie, I started my rookie year, like literally first play of the season, my rookie year, the whole season. And I would say at least 40% of the time I had no clue who to block. No clue.
No.
I mean, I've got my hand in the ground, and if I'm not supposed to block the guy that's directly across from me, then I'm screwed. You know, I'm yelling, I'm hollering at the center, like, Jay Leuenberg was our center. I'm like, Jay, who do I got? you go this way, you go that way, you know? Because when you're a rookie, man, it's just there's so much happening. You physically can handle it,
mm-hmm.
but mentally it's the aspect of the mental part's really tough.
And I've always quit. I don't know. And because you guys are – and football coaches are so much smarter than the rest of us. And
definitely,
you know, because you don't get in, you get into coaching first, and then you want to become a doctor or a lawyer, but because yeah. because that obviously that path you could easily go become a doctor, but you'd rather become a coach. So if there's a guy standing sitting right over you as a guard,
yeah,
what always looks really really great is when that guard turns to the right and lets that guy run right past him.
And
and then blows up the quarterback or the running back. And that always looks like really, really smart. And it's a good move, I think. Okay. As opposed to just, there's a guy right in front of you. Why don't you block him?
Well, to me, you know, for the trained eye, John,
that
makes the tackle look bad.
Right?
Because the tackle, you're supposed to slide down to the
tackle
technique.
Come on.
I'm going to help the center. You got to come take my guy. You know, you idiot. What are you blocking the defensive end for?
But he's got a guy, too.
Why are you blocking the defensive end?
But he's got a guy, too. Okay. That's right over him.
That's what you tell the media after the game.
Yeah. Hey, you guys don't know anything about pass protection.
That's what you leak to the media.
Right. You guys, hey, this isn't on me. That's on Devlin, okay?
Yeah. He's supposed to slide down.
Dude. Right and, there. Oh, by the way, the coach. This is really messed up how we're being coached up here. But honestly, because this happened with, remember Mario when Mario Williams came in,
mm-hmm.
You know, they moved him all over the place. And then he was like, and then the second year, he was like, they were like, you know, I think we're just going to keep him out here because it was a little bit too much. Oh, really?
Yeah.
For a rookie, too much to learn seven positions?
I mean, if coaches, sometimes they outthink themselves.
They do.
You know, they really do. They get too bogged down in their minds where they think they can do everything. And sometimes you just have to take a guy, put him in a position. You can move him around a little bit in training camp. Find out where does he look the most comfortable, because that's really what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he look the most comfortable? And then let's just put him there and leave him. Forget about it. And then next offseason, we can look at the other things.
Right.
For this season, his rookie year, focus on this position.
Did you? I always thought, though, okay, so they need versatility because they – on game day, seven offensive linemen. I always thought that was crazy. Why don't you have eight? At least eight.
It was always shocking to me, too, when I first got in the NFL. I'm like, wait, so we only have two backups?
That's it.
You know, you go to a college game, you have like
40.
15 guys
yeah.
behind you. You know?
Yeah, right.
You're not going to run out. And so I always would think like, well, I mean, we're going to run out of O-linemen at some point. But, you know, really, guys are pretty good about not getting hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you see more than two offensive linemen in a game get hurt?
Obviously.
It is.
So. But I always thought, I was like, why? This is nuts.
It is.
And, oh, by the way, what if the center gets hurt? Well, we got a guard that can move down and do that.
Everybody's
got to be able to move.
Somebody's got to be able to be backup center. Usually you might have two backup centers.
Right.
A guard that can do it and then a guy on the sideline that can play guard and center.
Right.
Because, yeah, you're right. You run out of centers, you're in trouble.
And then one tackle that can swing, you know, and God forbid anything else happens. I want to talk to you, too, about what you're looking for in an offensive lineman on the other side. John wants to talk. I hope he loves McDonald's. Let's do it on the other side. John wants to talk about some McDonald's. We'll do that. But first, I got to talk about Oops Steam Cleaning. I don't care if you've got a business too, and if you've got tile, like there's a lot of fast food restaurants that just have tile, and they need to have this tile clean because people are really gross. So if you're and if they come in to eat in your restaurant, chances are they're going to be gross about it, and they're going to do stuff. And there's always dirt building up and everything else. And Oops Steam Cleaning uses 250-degree steam to clean. And listen, they are going to purify. They can clean. They can do everything. Drapes, upholstery, no matter what it is, Oops can clean it. Kills fungi and germs. Gets rid of mold spores, bacteria. provides a better cleaning without the use of shampoos or detergents. Steam will clean it and not leave a residue behind. And they have trained and background screened professionals, employees, not contractors. So they've all been screened. These are the people that are going to come into your business or your home. You want to make sure that they're not just off the street and doing something you don't want them to do. They can repair that carpet. They can do it all. It's oops. If you haven't cleaned your carpets in a while, or, you know, when was the last time? Think about it. When was the last time you cleaned your carpets? You got to do it. Otherwise, you're gross. So hurry up and go to oopssteam.com, 281-822-0561. Tell them you heard it right here.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Lance isn't here. Steve McKinney, the inside skinny, with us here on ESPN 97.5. For those of you who remember back in the day, Steve used to come on with us. And, well, we used to get Sour Lake updates, too.
Oh, no, Raymond.
Raymond used to call in. Oh, I wonder Jr. how Booger is.
Well, Booger, I know he got out. Last time we talked to him, he just got out of jail. Remember?
Didn't he like his cousin or something? Was that?
I'm not sure that's why he was in jail.
But okay,
it was,
but it could have been.
Could have been. Very easily could have been.
Yeah. So that was that was good times. Maybe Raymond could call in again today. We'll see. Sour Lake is good, but JT played with a couple of guys from Sour Lake at Rice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a real place. Doesn't sound real.
Yeah, every real. Time I thought of it, you know, every time I heard Sour Lake, I thought of Raymond, you and Raymond. but it is real. No, it's definitely real. 713-780-3776. Steve McKinney is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Just to fill in for Lance. Lance is gone. Talk a little football. Talk a little Aggies. Talk some Texans football.
Lance is all Hollywood, man. I was watching ESPN. You know, I don't watch too much of that kind of stuff. And he was on one of those shows, I guess, where they have like the little panel. And I saw him up there looking all fat face, red face, you know. So I texted him like, dude, hey, nice job on TV, man. Did you just start doing that? He's like, thanks for watching, man. I've been doing that for like 4 years. I was like, well, it's pretty good anyway.
Well, you were actually watching the NFL Network.
NFL Network.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't watch that. He's like, man, I've been doing it for 4 years. I was like, man, I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff.
I don't know. I don't care.
I think I'm going to sit around and watch a bunch of...
I just want to tell you, I thought you did a good job, but yeah. fat red face.
You think I care about a bunch of radio pundits sitting around pining about football players? Like,
yeah, because no. They know everything that's going on, right?
I don't care.
Yeah. John wants to talk about McDonald's. Let's get him in here. What do you say, John?
This better not be a complaint.
Yeah, I had a question and a comment. Me and a buddy here have a debate going. Which patties are bigger, the Big Mac or the McDoubles?
They're the same, man. Same exact.
That's where I'm going because check this out. You know when times are tough, the economy's down, people go to the value menu. Have you ever heard of the Value Mac?
Yeah. I'm very familiar with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they do is people order the McDouble minus ketchup, add Mac sauce and shredded lettuce, and there you have a cheaper version of the Big Mac.
Well, thanks for sharing that with everybody, man. We appreciate that.
All right.
Well, how much is the double?
It's like a difference between $1.39 and $3.39.
But you don't have that little piece of bread in the middle.
That's true. You don't get the club bread.
That's right.
The club piece.
Yeah, that's right. So John, you
and it's just not the same.
It's not the same.
It's like a poor man's Big Mac.
No, it's not the same. It's not the same. And what about the pickle in there?
Well, it does have the pickle.
It does have a pickle. Yeah.
People try to do
the Big Mac is so.
And then they get mad when we charge extra for Mac sauce. But that's why we have to do it, because of guys like him that want to come in and cheat the system.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then they turn a McDouble into a Big Mac.
So are you really cheating the system or are you finessing the game?
Well, you could argue both. I think you're cheating the system.
You do, because you just lost a $1.89, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And guess what? Well, margins are pretty big at McDonald's, aren't they?
Shit.
Whoa. What? You can't see.
I didn't say the T.
He just said shit.
Close enough.
Oh, come on. Close enough. You said shit. That's all you said.
Yeah, I didn't enunciate.
You didn't know. So the Martians aren't that big, in other words?
No, man, it's the fast food business. It's a penny business, brother. We're working on pennies and margins here, man.
Yeah, that's why you got 15 of them now. So let's talk about, okay, offensive line. Uh-huh. This is another thing. Is we got the Titus Howard in the first round, right? Guy out of not Arkansas State.
Alabama State.
Okay. Making the big jump. You mean you were playing big time people in at Texas A&M, right? And this guy's making the move. And then you got the other one from Northern Illinois. You got one from Alabama State. You got one from Northern Illinois. Talk about a jump.
Man. I can't even imagine.
Okay, so your perfect left tackle. What's his build?
I would say perfect, 6'5" and a half. You know, 36-inch arms, good feet.
Yeah.
315-ish,
okay. And then 6'5", 315, that's not that heavy.
No, but you don't want to be too heavy.
No, right.
You know, because you don't, I mean, think about it. You're blocking defensive ends most of the time. And those guys are going to weigh anywhere from, you know, 265 to 285, 290 on the high end. So, I mean, you don't need a 330-pound earth mover at tackle. You want a big guy that's not going to get bull rushed, but you want a guy that can move.
More so, you want that guy at guard.
Yeah.
Right. What are you looking for at guard?
At guard, I think you want somewhere between, you know, 6'3", 6'4", you know, 300 to 315. I think when you start getting above that, you're getting at 330. And there's some guys that
played it. There's some great guys that played it much heavier than that.
No doubt.
Right.
But those are special talents. I think in general, you know, in that 300 to 315, 320 range is probably where you want to stay.
Isn't that guy, and you don't need the long arms either nearly as much?
No, I mean, I think my arms were like 32 or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, but
I didn't have long arms.
No, you were a center. I mean, inside, you don't need that.
Well, I played guard for 4 years up in Indianapolis. Yeah. I mean, no, you don't have to have, it helps. You know, it makes life a little easier, but you can certainly overcome not having long arms at guard and center.
Right. And then center, I mean, there's a wide range here.
Dude, center can go anywhere from 6 foot to, you know, 6'4", anywhere from 280 to 315.
Right.
You know, there's a big range at center. It just depends on what you're asking your center to do.
The Texans, with you and Chris Myers, I thought that was the best. Nothing against Nick Martin, but I don't know that he's really lived up to. Have you watched Nick much?
Is he the current center?
Yeah.
I watched him some last year, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's got potential, and he's pretty tall. He's like 6'4".
Maybe
6'4" and a half.
6'2" to 6'3", yeah, in there.
I mean, I've met him. He seemed like he was as tall as I was.
Yeah.
And I was 6'4", just a hair under 6'4". But, I mean, I think he's got the potential. He's got the build for it, and, you know, you got to get a little stronger, of course, but I think technique-wise, he came a long ways last year. He started to really improve.
As far as footwork goes, it goes outside in. Your left tackle has to have the best footwork, am I right?
Yeah, they got to be pretty, like a big dancing bear, man. They got to be light on their feet, quick feet.
Because they'll spin moves. The quickness, you've got to be able to move.
Most teams put their probably most athletic person is usually that defensive end over the left tackle.
Yeah. Well, Titus Howard was a quarterback in high school.
What?
Yeah.
Quarterback?
Yeah. Holy and he's moved all the way from tight end to tackle. I mean,
he's an athlete.
Yeah. I mean, he was younger and playing quarterback, but he put that on. And, I mean, he almost has a perfect build for out there. And when you're
what's
athletic,
his size? What's his build?
He's over three bills, and he's six four in there. Yeah. He's a big dude. Yeah. He's got the arms. He's got everything.
Yeah.
He's got it all. I mean, he looks like a guy that is going to be, you know, hopefully. Listen, Dwayne Brown was what, the seventh tackle taken in that draft? Turned out to be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Turned out to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, he did.
You know, they wanted Andre Dillard, who was just Eagles came in right before Titus Howard, and they swooped him up and they grabbed him and then you know, that kind of sucked because everybody thought Andre Dillard was their guy, but they have no bones about picking And Andre Dillard played bigger ball. He was apparently a better guy, but and you're taking Alabama State, you know, and, as opposed,
yeah,
you know, Alabama. Just, Alabama State's the one, the thing that scares me the most.
Yeah.
When you got a quarterback, a franchise quarterback, and that guy's making his first start out of Alabama State, you know, after a 62 sack season.
It is definitely scary. I mean, that's there's something to that. I mean, it's tough already being a rookie, but being a rookie that's been playing against that level of competition and not against Alabama and LSU, that is even scarier because there is going to be that physical and mental adjustment. And I guarantee he's already gone against every snap he takes right now is better talent than anyone he's ever played
ever.
Against. You know what I mean?
Ever.
So there'll be a slow learning curve. You know, don't expect him to come out and not give up sacks the first few weeks. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, especially, he's going to give up one or two.
Saints, Cameron Jordan. I mean.
And if you don't think those defenses are going to game plan all around that, I mean, that'll be their whole game plan.
Yeah.
Let's attack this left tackle. Let's make him prove that he can block us.
And let's confuse him with some stunts. And
I mean, they're going to make it hard on him. There's no question.
There's no question.
If he gets through this first year, then it's, you know, no holds barred, man. You know, there's no telling how good this kid can be moving forward.
It's funny. In that article, Steph Stradley made reference to that David Carr ESPN commercial where David Carr was lining up at the line of scrimmage with nobody, offensive line.
Before the draft. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, remember?
Well, I was in that commercial.
You were the only lineman?
I was the only lineman. I was snapping.
So. You were snapping. So
I was,
you were
okay. Like, I was okay
hey,
with
where's
it.
The rest of you guys? I'm here. Hey.
Hey, that's what it felt like at a lot of times. So I was kind of used to that. Just kidding, Chester.
Yeah, Ryan. Sorry, Ryan.
Yes. Sorry, Ryan. Jimmy Herndon.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy Herndon, why? U of H.
U of H,
guy.
Baby.
Yeah, that's all right. All right, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, Steve McKinney is here. Talk about all kinds of stuff here on ESPN 97.5. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome to do that. Right now, though, let's talk about Absolute Marble and Granite. Absolute Marble and Granite. That's my man, Jeff Aronoff. He is a guy who can, anything that you are building or you want to renovate, if you're redoing your kitchen, you call up Jeff Aronoff. You want to redo your outdoor patio, sweet. You're building and you want to put in that outdoor kitchen or patio, or you're putting in the pool and you need the tile, or you all your countertops for your new house. Jeff Aronoff can do, and your vanities and your fireplace. You want to change the facade of that fireplace. Whatever it is that you're doing, if it's rock hard, it's marble, it's granite, it's tile, Jeff Aronoff, no job is too big for Jeff. There are jobs that are too small. Don't call him about doing a little step work on your or putting in a tile in your patio. No, that's not what he does. He does entire hotels. He's somebody who he'll come and do that outdoor kitchen for you. And by the way, then you don't need an architect to design it for you because you got Jeff Aronoff who will design it for you. And if you're looking, I mean, the nicest, the best, it's all at Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Tell them you heard it right here. Get 20% off. Absolute Marble and Granite.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good for him. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 733, 713-780-3776. Now, this is a blast from the past. I don't remember the last time, and you older listeners that listened when we were over at 610, when me and Lance were there, will remember Larry in Montrose, okay? We haven't heard from Larry in Montrose in how long. Larry in Montrose, what's going on?
John Boy, how you doing?
Good, man. Where the hell have you been?
Well, it's been a long, long time, and it's been a long, long road. But Larry is not in the Montrose, and he's not in West Fort Worth anymore.
Well, where is he now?
Sounds like he's doing Morse code.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Sounds
there?
Like his phone is from back when he used to
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we'll just decipher it. Well, your phone sucks. So
yeah, that's better.
Where are you at now, Larry?
For now and for the future, I'm Larry in new territory, baby.
Larry in new territory.
Is that a real place?
I don't know what the hell that is. Not sure. I think it's down by Sugarland, isn't it? Or
yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
New territory.
New territory.
That's like when you just run out of names. You can't think of anything.
New territory.
We'll just call it new territory.
Yeah.
I didn't know there's still Native Americans to steal land from. What's new territory?
Oh, if there are, we'll find them.
We just got it.
We stole someone else's land.
We just got it, Del. Okay. You didn't know about it because it just happened.
The main reason I was calling was I finally tracked you guys down. Mm-hmm. Even though Lance ain't there today. But you're having a listener appreciation party without me?
Well,
really?
Yeah, actually, Larry, because no one knew that you were conquering new worlds, and so yeah.
Okay, just call me Sugarland. It's Sugarland. Okay.
Okay. No,
new territory now.
It's new territory. All of it. All of Sugarland is now new territory. Yeah.
Well, all the cops are in Sugarland, so I'm going with Sugarland.
Well, so all you got to do, Larry, we'll get your information from you, and we'll make sure that you get here for the older listeners so we can off air. Let's take Larry's information.
Okay.
We'll get him in. But Larry, yeah, Steve McKinney is here. You remember the old days with Steve McKinney? The inside skinny.
Yeah, if you're an old listener.
Of course I remember Steve McKinney.
You remember the old inside skinny? I recognize this guy's voice. I feel like he called in the show a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Larry. A couple times.
Yeah, he used to call in all the time.
A couple times a week.
Couple times a day.
Well, what happened, Larry? How'd you lose Lance, John and Lance, man? I mean, even I found them.
Well, I was in Fort Worth for 15 years. Oh, that's how you lose them.
That's how you lose them. Yeah, well, that's on you.
That would make it tough.
And that ain't that, the only one to blame for that is you. So
I found a rich woman, lived off her for 6 years, and then she decided to cut me off, so I moved home.
There's it. What?
Hey, it happens, simple. Man.
Hey, boy meets girl. Girl kicks him out. Boy comes back home.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a age old story.
Yeah.
Larry, hold on the line. We appreciate you, and don't be a stranger here in new territory. We'll get some information from you. Find out, and we'll get you to the party. All right. 713-780-3776. Chase says, "Well, Larry's now my neighbor. New territory." Okay. We played some baseball down there with the boy. Back in his little league days, what's Hunter? He's
six.
How old is he now?
Six. He's 12.
He's 12. Yeah. He's right in little league. He's right in the little league world.
Yeah, he's still in the little league world. Yeah,
he's in the little league world. Good for him.
We just started football last night.
Yeah, we were talking about that. It's almost August now in football.
Yeah,
I've done some. JT played in the SFL here,
mm-hmm.
which is down here. You got another SFL up there, right? What is it?
SCFL, South County Football League. It's in the Woodlands.
SCFL.
Yeah.
We were in the Southwest Football League down here. But there were, I don't know how many teams. Seems like nobody's playing it.
The numbers are definitely going down. I know 2 years ago I coached. There was 13 teams in the junior division, which is third and fourth grade. And the year before that, there were 20. So last year, I think there was 9. And then this year, there's 5. So you can see the numbers are definitely going down as the kids are starting to get older. And, you know, it's got to be from all the media attention, from the CTE and the concussions and all that kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, you got shows like Friday Night Tykes and stuff that just portray it in the worst possible way.
Right. So funny watching that crap.
And it's ridiculous.
It's not even close to real. I think they're all playing up for the cameras and, you know.
They got to be.
Now, there are some. There parents are some. Who are overzealous.
I can tell you the SCFL, the league that we play in, is not like that. You know, I watched some film before because I was very hesitant myself. You know, I wasn't going to let my son play until like seventh grade. But then I got worried because everyone else is playing, And I'm like, geez, I don't want him going into, you know, seventh grade. He'll be the only kid that's never played football, never even hit anybody. You know, he's going to get his butt whooped.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to at least let him play a couple of years. So I looked at the – watched some game film. I'm like, man, these kids aren't hitting anybody. I was like, they're not going – nobody's going to get hurt.
No.
You know, going 5 miles an hour and chest bumping.
Yeah.
You know, I was like – so we went ahead and signed up. And it was great. He loved it. He had so much fun. Nobody got hurt. There was no concussions. Nobody's suffering from long-term CTE, you know.
They're
teaching it real safe, John. I mean, they've changed the way you tackle completely. Like, I wouldn't even know what to do. Like,
really?
You don't use your head to tackle. Everything's taught like rugby style. You keep your head out of every tackle. So, I mean, they're teaching
That's
things
really
totally
good,
different. It is good.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's so different than when you and I played.
No. You remember the Chuck Cecils and mm-hmm. I mean, dudes who safeties that would just, we had a kid named Craig Zerbel who would just lay in high school, you know, obviously not that young, but in high school, I mean, just lay guys out and stand over them and the whole sideline would be going crazy. Kids laying there shaking on the ground. And it's a good thing too.
Yeah.
That's a good thing too. How many years did you play for? You played since you were a little kid.
Yeah, I mean, I played from seventh grade all the way through, you know, 11 years in the NFL. So.
And any head issues?
Well, I mean, it depends on who you ask, I guess.
Yeah, ask Tiff. What's she gonna say?
Yeah, you don't want to. Don't ask her. Ask somebody else. Trust me. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I feel fine. My brain seems to work fine. You know, I still call my kids by the wrong names, but I've been doing that for 20 years.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there is legit concerns about CTE later in life and things like that, but
I think it's everybody's different.
Yeah.
I don't know, because you banged heads with a guy at nose tackle every play in practice. And you guys used to hit in practice.
Oh, yeah.
Full. And, every day. And all those, you know, Mike Webster, center for the Steelers, he had an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many more times he hit a guy than you did, but you got to be relatively close, and you don't have an issue.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody is. Everybody is different.
Everybody's different, you know. So I don't worry about it. You know, to me, would the fear or worry of CTE or long-term side effects have changed anything I did? No. I still would have played. I still would have stayed as long as I could have in the NFL. You know, so nothing would have changed. So,
right.
I don't see the sense in worrying about it.
Right.
I really don't.
But even if, but if you had it, because there are guys right now, like Tony Dorsett, and there are guys that say, well, I regret it now. But I bet if he went back, I don't know, I'm not going to speak for Tony Dorsett, but the life that he has lived because of it, is it short-lived? Yeah. Could he have possibly lived longer and maybe a better life later in life? Possibly. But and most likely, yeah, probably. But would he take it away? Would he not do it now?
Yeah,
by the way, there are a lot of women that experience long-term memories that never played a down of in the NFL. That, you know, I mean, they have issues with, mind issues.
Later I mean, the way life. I look at it, I mean, Alzheimer's already runs in my family. So, you know, if I got Alzheimer's and CT, I mean, does it really matter?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't really care because I'm not going to remember anything anyway. So, right. I mean, it's all good.
Now, there are guys, who obviously get to extremes, the Dave Duersons, and they have real issues and it cost them their lives. So
this is depressing.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, you're really making me like have a lot of second doubts. Guess myself right now.
No, but again, everybody is different and can't look at it all in a bubble. But I'll tell you this. Do you guys offer flag football in the league?
Yeah, so I was going to say, first of all, two things. This youth football, the way that they're coaching it now, I want parents to really understand that they're doing it in a much safer way. Like, if you lead with the helmet and a tackle, it's going to be a penalty. They're trying to take that completely out of the game, especially at youth football. So worrying about long-term side effects or concussions, they're doing a much better job with that. So before you just chicken out and say, I'm not doing it, just look into it, research it before you just write it off. Secondly, there's a new form of youth football that they're working on, and they did it in the spring here in the Woodlands called flex football. What it is basically 9-on-9, I think. Instead of 7-on-7,
mm-hmm.
It's 9-on-9. So you have two offensive linemen and a center, and then you have two defensive linemen. Okay. So it gives the offensive linemen that
a place to go.
A place to go. A place to work, you know, a place to get better. Guys that are going to be offensive linemen in high school and junior high.
Right.
You know, otherwise you have nothing to do. You're not going to play football. So that is something that I could truly see starting to get bigger, not just in Houston, but across the country, especially in that youth level. I'd love to see it go into high school. I mean, when you're an offensive lineman, in the offseason in high school, all your friends, all the skill position, the quarterbacks, receivers, DB, they're all playing 7-on-7.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a whole nother freaking season
now. Right.
Offensive lineman, what are we doing? Nothing. We're throwing shot put. We're going and doing these, you know, competitions where see how much we can bench press and, you know, flip tires and dumb stuff like that. So if you can incorporate offensive linemen into that, first of all, not only does it improve your high school team, but it actually gives those guys something to improve on and work on so that they can better themselves, have a chance at scholarships and opportunities like that. Because when you're playing high school football, every one of these little camps you go to, you have one-on-ones, right? That's what offensive linemen do. That's the only thing they're going to get graded on. All these scouts and people that are sitting up in the stands watching, they're just looking for if you can pass block.
Well, thank God the offensive lineman has a voice, and he has it right here. And he's called Steve McKinney.
I'm here to speak for you.
Steve McKinney with us in studio on ESPN 97.5. John Clay Wolf is with us right now to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com and other stuff. We have no idea what John Clay Wolf is going to talk about ever here on the show. What's up, John Clay Wolf?
Not much, just getting going. How are y'all?
Doing great, man. Welcome to the show. Let me ask you this question, okay? Mm-hmm. How many cars are you going to buy today?
Probably 150, 130.
130 to 100 and how many out of Houston?
50% will come out of Houston.
50% will come out of Houston, thanks to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Houston. Thanks to you, exactly.
Thanks to me.
You know, it's not thanks to. I need to know how to handle a situation, Granato.
What's the situation?
Well, like these, we've been on the station for 10 years, didn't we?
Right.
And people come and people go on Saturdays before and after us, but we've always been there. And there's like a group of senior citizens that do a show after ours on Saturday. And I think it's called Wheel Time.
Yeah.
And it came to my attention that when I got off the air on Saturday, the guy got on the air and started apologizing for me. And I'm so sorry that you people were subject to that filth and that trash. And this guy is so terrible. And we're so embarrassed, and I can't believe he's still on here. And again, you know, like Jesus needs to save him, and we're apologizing. And
well,
you know,
Jesus
does
need to save you, but right.
I brushed it off, but then I watched the video of it, and it kind of, I mean, who's this guy think he is? He's riding the coattails of my crowd that I've built over 10 years. Should I ignore it, or should I, like,
him? Well, I think you already haven't ignored it, but
I think an all-out war needs to begin.
I don't think we should have in wheel time.
He already knows in wheel time is listening. So
versus John Clay Wolf, okay.
As they're preparing for the show, they're listening to John. So as John's signing off, just take some shots.
Dell loves that. Dell loves that. You know who's not going to love that? David Gao. Okay, so let's just make peace. We'll tell in wheel time. Mind your own business, and you just okay. We'll call a truce. Okay, how's that?
It's not very fun. It's not fun at all.
No, it won't be fun. But it won't be fun for in wheel time. Here's the deal: is they'll say you need Jesus, and then you'll start talking about how their mom does stuff to the people. Okay, so that's a different war. Okay, you two are fighting on different levels.
Bring the nukes, John Clay.
No, don't bring the nukes, John Clay Wolf. Here's what you need to do: bring the people to GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. You want to sell your car? Sell your car to John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Jadeveon Clowney, Steve, not there. Didn't sign the franchise. I've never really understood. When did the franchise tag come in?
Man, I guess probably around 90, maybe 93 after that CBA.
Okay.
They did 93 or something.
So let me ask you this question. You weren't franchised.
No.
So.
I wish.
But guys hate it. Guys hate it.
Well, it's just, you know, different for players like him because he has so much earning potential. You know, if I was a player, you know, he's a top 10 defensive end in the NFL,
yeah.
I guess, you know, or something like that. So if you're worth that kind of money, I mean, he's worth a 5-year, you know, $100 million contract or something. So when you give him, you know, 20 mil or whatever the franchise is for a defensive end, what is it?
So he's between 15 and 17 because they're arguing whether or not he's a linebacker or a defensive end.
Of course
they are. They designated him linebacker.
Of course. Right. I'm surprised they didn't just go for tight end. So, I mean, when you have the potential to get a 5-year $100 million deal or a 1-year $17 million deal,
right.
That's the reason he's upset about
it. And the guaranteed money is so important.
To you and me, you know, normal people, yeah, it's a ton of money, but I don't hate on the guy for, you know, wanting to get what he's worth and secure his long-term future.
No.
Because guess what? If he tears his knee up tomorrow, you think the NFL's still going to pay him 5-year $100 million?
No, but you look at, and I don't know if it's probably different because he's a quarterback, but Kirk Cousins played through 2 franchise tags, and then he got $90 million guaranteed from the Vikings.
Hey, but what if he'd have got hurt? What if he'd have blown his ACL, just one of those, had a shoulder injury in one of those years? Then he doesn't get that $90 million.
No.
So, yeah, that can happen, and ideally, in a perfect world, that is what happens.
No, but he was making $22 million. Yeah. You know, per or 24, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's not working for chump change.
No. And I get it too. And Jadeveon, I would argue Jadeveon shouldn't come in. If you want to know the truth, everybody's talking about him. Well, he'll be back for the first day. You don't want to miss those game checks. Well, or you're going to say, I don't think he'll hold out. I think he'll come in, but I could certainly see him missing some games and saying, you know what?
I wouldn't.
How's it? How are you guys doing now? Emmitt Smith held out. It didn't come in the first couple of games. Cowboys lost both those games, and they said, we got to get this guy in here. Mm-hmm. And Zeke might be the same way. Ezekiel Elliott's holding out now. Now, Ezekiel Elliott's not a franchise tag guy. Right. He's still got years left on his contract.
I mean, yeah. Hey, it's just the way the new NFL is. You know, rookies, you got to pay your dues before you can get paid. That's just how they have it set up.
Well, but you can certainly see the argument where Zeke would say,
oh, absolutely.
Dude, you ain't. There was I was listening out, to Golic and Wingo this morning, and they broke down the numbers of Dak Prescott with Zeke in there and without Zeke in there, and it's night and day.
Oh, I guarantee it. I mean, you can't take out a running back like him and replace him with just anybody.
Right.
You're definitely going to see some production loss.
And well, the league is so different now, and yet it really isn't that franchise running back. I know it's a passing league, and Peter Burns, they played a quote from Peter Burns about, you're not worth it. Oh, really? Because when you look at Dak's numbers with Zeke in there and without Zeke in there, he's a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But they've devalued the running back so much in the league. Now, Saquon was the number 2 overall pick, and he's the best running back in the league. Zeke was a 4th pick, and he's...
Those are pretty special elite talents. But after you get past the 2 or 3 elite running backs, like they're kind of all the same.
Right.
You know, they're all kind of...
Well, you can find them later.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's why they devalued them. Plus, I mean, the NFL's a passing league. Yeah, you got to run the ball, but teams that can throw the ball are the ones that are going to win. You can win without running. You cannot win without throwing the ball.
How valuable is
not elite, the NFL.
An elite wide receiver, considering Michael Thomas... is a guy holding out too.
So, yeah, Michael Thomas holding out.
Now, he is the most egregious of them all in terms of playing above your worth. He was a second-round pick, remember. The final year of his deal is this year, $1.1 million is what he would make. He's looking for somewhere near 19 to 20 to come in, so he's holding out too. So what's the value on an elite wide receiver?
An elite wide receiver?
He's one of the best in the league now.
Well, I mean, there's definitely some value there. I mean, I think you have some considerable drop off when you're having to put your number 2 guy at number 1. Now you got your number 3 at number 2. I mean, that definitely makes a difference.
Well, and especially since there's like DeAndre. Yeah. What's Deshaun without DeAndre right now?
Exactly.
And look at how much better too Dak was when Amari came.
I mean, there's so many elite cover corners in the NFL that if you don't have a guy that requires double coverage, you're pretty much done. I mean, you cannot throw the ball effectively and win football games if they can single cover all your wide receivers, because then they're going to take them out and your running game. You have no shot. You have to force double coverage somewhere.
Well, it's rare to have, well, for the Texans to have anybody who can cover, but it's rare to have guys who can cover three or four wides. It's rare in the league to be able to do that.
Yeah. No, it is tough, but the receivers and DBs have all gotten better since when I played. Back in my day, I mean, kids nowadays, I mean, they're playing 7-on-7 at, you know, fourth grade. So these kids are very competitive. They've done one-on-ones their entire life. They know how to go compete for balls and things like that. So it's just a different era of football with the passing game as proficient as it is in the short and long games and mid-range. And there's so many more advanced route trees than they had 20 years ago. I mean, it's just a lot. So much has changed.
You mean the difference between Bucky Richardson football and
averaging 90 yards of game passing? Yeah.
Sorry, Buck.
I love me some Bucky.
Oh, yeah. Of course you love Bucky. Let's talk about the Aggies on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Hey, guys.